Time is the one thing you can't get back, so spend it wisely by investing in your goals and future. Every moment at Miller-Mott College gets you closer to a career that makes you proud. Visit us online at miller-mott.edu. That's miller-mott.edu.
Donate and listen to the podcast at wrwl.org.
All righty, we are back. And you know, Joe, the Communist Party made some gains, but you would expect that, it's, you know, but here we're going to see America's largest city implode. It's going to be losing people, and we're going to sit and we're going to watch it implode. And you're going to see, now we may have to go in there for some special missions. I mean, I know Trump is getting people ready to go to Nigeria if they have to rescue Christians there. But Joe, you and I might have to go into New York to rescue Christians, because the communists are taking over completely.
Well, if you look at the entire election, Spamberger won in Virginia. And if you go down, I'm looking at things. Hashmi is the first
Muslim.
What do you call it? The first Islamic lieutenant governor, right? And I'm looking at these results. Jones was that guy that had all the horrible, sick rhetoric. He won there for attorney general in Virginia. And going down the California, Proposition 50 so far is winning. And I'm looking at all these other states and different things. Pennsylvania Supreme Court, Democrat won. Two Democrats won Supreme Court seats. Texas, 18th District, Democrats won. Minnesota, Democrats run. Detroit, Democrats won. Pittsburgh, Democrat. Atlanta, Democrat. Cincinnati, Ohio, Democrat. They're kind of a picture. And all of the ones who ran, as far as I can tell, are mostly the radicals. And the radicals are the socialists / communists, because we know that communism is socialism in a hurry, period. And we were told by the world's leading experts in communism. So what we see here is we've been telling people for many, many years there has been a revolution taking place. It is inside our country, and where we're seeing the enemy raise its ugly head. And folks, this is real, really serious. And I don't think a lot of people realize just how serious this is. But the trouble is, I think a lot of it is deceit. And I know quite a few people today have been saying, like Brett Hume, for one, an old commentator from Fox, the showdown is not related, it's resistance to Trump. And so many of the people, I saw several different interviews, and the people were, well, I voted for this person because they were against Trump. Trump is evil. Trump is Hitler. Trump is wicked. Trump was horrible. So I'm voting for this radical candidate because he says Trump is bad. The lies have swung the election because of the anti-Trump hatred. And most of that has been fomented by a left-wing press that hates Donald Trump, because they hate success, they hate America, they hate faith, they hate the fact that he, you know, he's promoting Christianity, the Bible, God. And so he is the enemy. And we know that both Islam and communism, what do they both say in both groups? The enemy and my enemy is my friend. So they are joining forces to defeat this conservative Christian revival taking place, because God is really the enemy they're after.
Yeah. Yeah. Because, you know, he tells you there in Proverbs 8, all those that hate God love death.
Yes. And who did we elect? We elected all in the nation. When I say we, the nation has elected the proponents of death, of violence, of hatred, of anti-Semitism, of bigotry. And if I can, you remember good old Marcus Tullius Cicero way back, you know, he's in ancient Rome. I want to read something if I can. He said this: we are taxed in our bread and our wine, in our incomes, in our investments, on our land and on our property, not only for base creatures who do not deserve the name of men, but for foreign nations, compliant nations, who will bow to us and accept our largesse and promise us to assist in the keeping of the peace. These mendicant nations who will destroy us when we show a moment of weakness or our treasury is bare, and surely it is becoming bare, we are taxed to maintain legions on their soil in the name of law and order in the Pax Romana, a document which will fall into dust that pleases our allies and our vassals. We keep them in precarious balance only with our gold. It is the heart blood of our nation. Worth these? Were they bound to us with ties of love, they would not ask for our gold. They would take our very flesh. They would hate and despise us. And who shall say we are worthy of more? When a government becomes powerful, it is destructive, extravagant, and violent. It is a usurer which takes bread from the innocent mouths and deprives honorable men of their substance for votes with which to perpetuate itself. This was written in the Roman Empire, and a couple minor changes, this would be exactly what's going on with America today. Remember, God in Scripture tells us there is nothing new under the sun. We're seeing things in our history of the earth that are perfectly applicable to what's happening right now today. It's amazing. We've forgotten our history. We've forgotten the knowledge. And with ignorance prevailing, we're repeating the same horrible mistakes that have been done over and over and over in the past, right?
Yeah, yeah. And again, we're seeing today. I mean, and of course, what you talked about last night, where we've forgotten our God, we've forgotten our God. Well, that's in Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. He tells you that because you have forgotten your God, He will forget you and forget your children. And we've seen that happen. But here's the thing. The very few people actually know this because of biblical illiteracy. They're on their smartphones, they're on the internet, they're going to TV, they're going everywhere but where the answers are. And again, like we said earlier here today, the greatest science book that ever existed is God's Word, the Bible. It's light years ahead if you understand it, okay? But you have to, you know, and a lot of people don't understand, but before you even study God's Word, if you would pray and ask God for discernment, He can open up your eyes and show you things that have been there all this time, and you've probably read them 100 times and never saw it because you forgot to pray about it. And He will open your eyes to things that are happening all around us today, and yet the vast majority of people in this world are totally oblivious. They're clueless. They got no idea.
And so, so much. I'm sitting here going, I remember back the Great Society, President Lyndon Johnson. He started out promising all kinds of free stuff and things, kind of like Mondami. He talks about, we're going to establish a harmony between man and society, allow each of us to enlarge the meaning of his life and to all of us to value, elevate the quality of our civilization, and that search we begin tonight. This is what he was talking about, going on and on. We're going to give this. He said the Great Society will not be the gift of government or the creation of presidents. It'll be the people. You know, and he goes on. Ever since 50 years after the Great Society, which we're well past already, the government has spent well over $1 trillion, and yet 50 years later, there was more poverty than when Lyndon Johnson formed the Great Society. All these wonderful things that government's going to give, all the free stuff, it only cost $1 trillion for the free stuff. And what do we have? more poverty than we ever had before, percent-wise. Now, we have more people, but percentage-wise, more people in poverty now than back then after $1 trillion was spent on the war on poverty.
Well, communism eliminates the middle. Communism eliminates the middle class. You have, you know, the proletariat, you have the elite, and then the proletariat. Or you know, and so there is no middle class under communism. That's their goal. You want
right.
the 2%.
You want everybody 2%. Equal, except the leaders, right?
Right. It's like that book Animal Farm, where where everyone is equally destitute, except for not everybody is equal, right?
Some animals are more equal than others, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I remember one other thing, going back to Cicero, he said this, do not blame Caesar. Caesar was the government, okay? Do not blame Caesar. Blame the people of Rome who have so enthusiastically acclaimed and adored him. Mandani, they're adoring him, right? The people rejoice in their loss of freedom and danced in his path and given him triumphal possessions. Blame the people who hail him when he speaks in the forum of the new, wonderful, good society, which shall now be Rome's, interpreted to mean more money, more ease, more security, more living fatly at the expense of the industrious. Clear back in Rome, before Marx even created Marxism, communism, the same thing was going on in Rome. As Mandami running in New York, the promises he made just sounds like Caesar making the promises about, you know, circuses and free food. Remember those words, more ease, more security, more living fatly at the expense of the industrious.
Well, you know, it's an interesting thing because Bernie Sanders just came out, and in fact, he stated that the Democratic Party, unless the Democratic Party, stops, being the party of the elite, unless they quit being the party of the elite. In other words, you've got all these billionaires now in the Democratic Party. And if you take a look at these Congress, all of these people and these Democrats in Congress now worth millions of dollars, that unless they get away and go back to being the party of the people, then they're doomed. And they're not going to implode by themselves. We have to help them. And so, we really got to get the people to understand that we're talking about forces of evil. This Mandami, or Dumb Mandi, he had two multi-billionaires supporting him financially.
Now, why would a billionaire want to destroy the capitalist center of the world? New York City is really the capitalist center of the world, and a billionaire who has gotten to be a billionaire because of the capitalistic system now wants to promote and give money to people who wish to destroy the very system that made them wealthy.
Well, Joe, it's because there's a couple ways of becoming wealthy. You see, if I have $100 and you have $10, I'm 10 times wealthier than you, right?
Pretty much.
Joe, if I only have $10, but you only have $1, I'm still 10 times wealthier than you.
Right.
You see, and so what happens is when they reduce the wealth of the middle class, they take away and they reduce it to where it's the middle class is impoverished, just poor, then that increases their wealth again by many times.
It sure does.
Yeah.
Well, remember that you might remember Marxist activist Robert McChesney. He was the founder of the George Soros-funded Free Press. This guy's written about four major books and with this Nicholas character about the Marxist things going on. Anyway, McChesney called for the dismantlement, brick by brick, of the U.S. capitalist system, with America being rebuilt as a socialist society. On and on. We've talked about things in the past. I think I brought up this some of this stuff that people wrote different times, because this was in our records from old shows. It's been out there, but people just, we cannot get people to understand. We keep repeating our history, because people don't study, don't learn, don't remember, and will not take the time to sit down and do some simple research, Pastor, and spend a little bit of time trying to acquire knowledge. God's given us all this ability to do the research. It's out there. It's easy to find. I mean, you know, I've got brain damage and everything else, and I can find this stuff, so I know other people can. But we go back and we have all these, like you were talking about, these wealthy billionaires, and here they're helping people who write these books, put out these articles to promote socialism, Marxism, but they want to dismantle us brick by brick and bring us to a socialist society. And here we see men, whatever you want to call him, this communist, Marxist, Islamist, he's all those in one, winning in the heart of capital enterprise of the world. To me, it's amazing we are that stupid in America.
Well, you have, again, like I said, the interesting thing is that in New York City, 14% of the population are Muslims that have come in, and then you have 14% are Jews. That's an interesting thing. But here you have a whole lot of people. You still have a lot of illegal aliens, a lot of in New York City.
38% of New York City are foreign-born. 20% or to 25%, they weren't sure, the citizens don't speak English. 50% of New Yorkers do not use English as their primary language at home. 40% of the adults of New York are unemployed, and 53% of the citizens of New York receive at least one form of government assistance. And this stuff came from Newsmax, was the source. You look at that and go, okay, and in New York, the largest employer in New York City is the government, 13% of all jobs. The second biggest employer are nonprofit organizations, NGOs that work with the government.
And what's going to happen, because Trump has said he's going to find it very difficult to allow funds to go to New York, federal.
Well, I hope he really will pull back on that and not, you know, and not send the money, not share government funds with them. But that'll be a battle at the Supreme Court. Here we go again to the courts, right?
Well, my guess is, too, that he's going to be using a lot of the ICE. He's going to use a lot of ICE agents in that, going in there, because, like you said, you have a number of criminal gangs in New York, and a lot of those illegals there, which is going to stir up a bunch, because the Communist Party, and yet the New York police, they've endorsed Trump. Their police unions in New York have endorsed Trump. And so there's going to be a situation where they're not going to go along with the commies. Many of them will just quit.
He can also cut their budget and force them to get rid of officers, because he's going to be controlling, he and his people will control the budget, purse strings.
Yeah.
This is pretty serious. The people, I hope, will wake up from what on. Remember, I got this, we did this way back many, many years ago. There was a poem Karl Marx wrote. It's called Feelings. And he said a couple words that I got to read them. They're really strange. Heaven, I would comprehend. I would draw the world to me, living, hating. I intend that my star shine brilliantly. Worlds, I would destroy forever, since I can create no world. Since my call, they notice never. And then he goes on in another poem and says, Then will I be able to walk triumphantly like a god through the ruins of their kingdom that I destroyed. Every word of mine is fire in action. My breast is equal to that of the Creator. You know, you were teaching that stuff years ago. I was teaching that stuff. We did these things on the radio because they're in my archives. And it's so clear. Here's this, you know, Antichrist, Marxist, Satanist. And, you know, he's talking about how I hate, you know, I want to shine worlds I would destroy forever since I can create no world. And then walk triumphantly like a god through the ruins of the kingdoms that he had destroyed forever. This is the guy that started the socialism, communism, is nothing but pure. Folks, this is a totally spiritual warfare. This is a war between the forces of Christ, the followers of Christ, and all the forces of the Antichrist system. Right, Pastor Ernie?
Well, Satan was the first communist. I mean, because Karl Marx was a hardcore practicing Satanist,
Right.
And so was Joseph Stalin. He too. And Lenin also. These people were all practicing Satanists today. And you have many, many in the Democratic Communist Party today in this, you know, in America, that are practicing Satanists today. You'll find out more and more. They're involved in witchcraft and so in every other kind. In fact, you know, if you find out how I'm going to be playing, Lord's willing, some clips on this Epstein thing coming up.
Yeah.
There'll be like 15 minutes, but this is stuff that we dug up years ago. And one of them that's really, really involved with the occult, satanic worship in there, is none other than Hillary Clinton. And
when you're saying that, I go back. Here's one more from Marx. It's called The Invocation of One in Despair. I shall build my throne high overhead. Cold, tremendous shall its summit be, for its bulwark, superstitious dread. For its martial blackest agony. And then he goes on and says, see this sword? The prince of darkness sold it to me. And with Satan I have struck my deal. He chalks the sign, speaks time for me. I play the death march fast and free. You look at this stuff and go, it's out there, but yet, other than you and I don't think I've heard another pastor ever preach about Marx being a Satanist, quote any of these poems, and yet they are out there talking about Marxism, socialism, the world, and the pulpits, they don't understand any of this. The pastors haven't read, they haven't looked in the past, they haven't done any research or study, and they can't preach from the pulpit something they know absolutely nothing about, right?
Well, you know, we've mailed out hundreds and hundreds of Marx and Satan, the booklets on Marx and Satan, the book that was written by Richard Wurmbrand.
That's what I'm saying. You and I, have you heard another pastor other than you or I that has gone out there and preached about Karl Marx, Satanism, quoted any of these poems, any of the things they've read?
There's a few in the UBF that have done that. There's a few, not many, but you're right. There's very few that do. But
And they don't have a national platform like you have, do they?
Not most of them, no.
That's what I was saying, but I look around and, boy, I sure don't see in any of the other churches anywhere, the Southern Baptists, anybody else doing this. I guess that's why you need to be on the air. You're one of the few people that have knowledge, is willing to go these places, talk about these things, and try and wake people up and educate them.
Do you remember Tom Horn, the guy we had on here some years ago? He wrote a book, several books. He was a pastor. And, you know, he really got into, he preached a lot of what we're talking about right now. He really got into that. Also, if you remember Tex Mars.
I think more, I don't think I knew him, but I remember you talking about him quite a bit.
Yeah, we had him on. Tex Mars was another one that we had on here that would be, that really got into it. And I'm talking, I'm having one of my senior moments. The late, great Hal Lindsey was another one.
We're only talking 30, 40 years ago. I mean, of course you remember all these people, their names, what you did on the radio. Yeah, right.
they've all gone home to be...
2 weeks ago.
Yeah, I think the last one to die was Tom Horn. I think he died about 3 years ago. But most of them, have long passed away. But they did. They were talking about the same things. And we were talking about Epstein and what was going on back in the 90s.
Yeah. So, way back then, I remember that. That's the nice thing about keeping computer files. You can go back and click on something and see the date and go, we did that, because here it's on my archive records.
Well, we exposed the Clintons in 1990. Amin, Arkansas, the drugs, all the killings and that. And Hillary's involvement in witchcraft. We were talking about all that in 1990. And so that's what, how many years?
Nichols was on quite often talking about what went on and all the crooked police and highway patrol and everything else. Oh, that we could go on forever about that. But the point is, people are going to have to wake up and start actually trying to find news reporters that are willing to, in fact, if you don't have a good reporter or good news, start looking things up. Look up Marxism. These stories will come up if you dig. You have to dig, though.
I think the thing that people really need to understand, too, in the times we're living in, a country, we have between 45 and 50 million, illegal aliens in this country, on our soil. We know that there was at least 50,000 nationalists, Chinese nationalists, military. At least 50,000 Chinese on our American soil. Now, we know that they have cells, sleeper cells, all over this country. We were talking about that. In fact, remember, we sent out DVDs 20 years ago, more than 20 years ago. We sent out DVDs that showed you the locations of some of the sleeper cells, the jihadist training camps where they were training, to go to war against America, to uprise and take over America. And so they're there. They're waiting for their supreme commander, whoever that may be, to give the word for them to rise up. And here we try to tell people, try to warn people, you really need to be prepared for that. You really need to be prepared. And so, of course, a lot of people say, what do we do? Well, you really need a standing militia. You really do. We need to go back to what the founding fathers understood, because the enemy walks within us today. And the enemy, the Democratic Communist Party, the Democrats are communists. They have formed an unholy confederacy with radical Islam.
Democrats. I think we need to, it's me, not just Democrats or all these words, but they're deathocrats is what they are. Because communism is always about death, the shedding of innocent blood. And so the party that is promoting socialism, Marxism, communism, they're the party of death. And I'm looking
absolutely.
And I did in July 2011. Checklist, America meets 90% of Karl Marx's demands. And we quoted Dr. Elliot, Kirk Elliot, 2015, Democrats' new agenda, hauntingly similar to communism, contract with America represents the Communist Party USA manifesto. I've got a pile of stories here. Some of them are 6, 5, 6, 7 pages long. those were things that we were doing back 2000. Like I said, those two just happened to come out 2011, 2015. And I remember way back doing all those, bringing up the 45 goals of communism in America. And we're talking about how many had been fulfilled. Most of them were fulfilled. And this was back in the, mid-90s or late 90s?
Well, we were sending out back in the 70s. We were mailing out the 40 current communist goals. We'll be back after this. Alrighty, we are back, and you know, you were talking about hell, and Lord's willing, Joe, that's what I'm going to be preaching on this coming Sunday, because you know, it's going to be a little bit different message than I think what you're going to hear in most places. There's a lot more to that than a lot of people understand, and the vast majority of people, they usually just don't like to think about it, but hell is very, very real, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It amazed me. It was kind of like that thing we'd Barner research came up with. More people believe in heaven than believe in God.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I think they don't believe in hell. They They believe in a heaven, but they don't want to believe in a hell. But more people believe in heaven than they do believe in God, who made it, who his home is heaven. We need to do a lot of teaching in this world.
Well, you know, I've talked to people. I remember a woman telling me one time that I believe in God and I believe in Jesus, but I don't believe there is a Satan or there is a devil, and I don't believe there's a hell. Because God is just love, and God would never make such a place as hell. So I said, so what you're telling me is that you think God's a liar. No.
Yeah.
Because, you know, did you know that did Jesus preach more on hell than he did heaven? He did? Yeah, it's right here.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, it's right here in his word. And so, you know, this whole idea, because she was telling me how her Jesus... again, is a Jesus who is non-judgmental. This is one of the things
that
you hear.
Her, the key was her Jesus, right?
Yeah, is non-judgmental, and I've heard this several times from a number of these. Usually, it's these women that come up with this idea. It's like the women on The View or whatever that God is not, you know. And I told them, look. When it comes to sin, there never a man walked the earth that was more judgmental than the Lord Jesus himself. He's the ultimate judge, okay? And that's just an amazing thing. And then,
isn't that why he's called the supreme judge of the universe?
Yeah, they call him the judge of tolerance. That he, I remember a woman telling me one time that her God accepts people just the way they are and doesn't expect them to change for him. I told her, I says, this God, your God, exists in your mind. The one you're going to stand before, I said, is, again, where it comes to judgment of sin. He's not tolerant, I can tell you that. And I told her, I said, you are in for an extremely rude awakening.
The whole process of being born again is the greatest change in the world, right? We change and become born again spiritually, become part of the kingdom of God, the family of God. I mean, that's got to be one of the greatest changes in the world, right?
Well, yeah, that's the whole point. We become new creatures.
God doesn't want us to change. No, everything depends on our changing, right?
Well, he tells you in Romans chapter 7, that you have to put away the old man and become the new man, okay?
Right.
And so, yeah.
The new creature.
And I had a professor tell me, this professor, he said to me that when it comes to faith, faith is something that's very personal. Now, this man, he professed that he was United Methodist Church, but he never attended. But he, and that was his Methodist, United Methodist. And I said, and then he told me that his faith was something that was very, very personal to him.
Oh.
And it's not something that you share with everybody. And I said, you are totally, professor. And here's a man who would often remind you that he has a very high IQ. And I said, a man with such a high IQ, you can be pretty stupid, okay? Because again, you know I asked him, have you ever heard of something called the Great Commission? Well, of course I have. What do you think the Great Commission is? It's where to go out to the whole world and what? Preach the gospel, witness our faith, right? Baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, and teaching the Word of God, teaching our faith. And yet he but that's the world out there.
Yeah.
And so,
oh boy, you can't make this stuff up. I can't, you know. Just looking at the clock, two things I'd like to do before I go tonight. Clear back. James Madison. We have staked the whole future of American civilization not upon the power of government, far from it. We have staked the future of all our political institutions, that's law and government, upon the capacity of mankind for self-government, upon the capacity of each and all of us to govern ourselves, to control ourselves, to sustain ourselves according to the Ten Commandments of God. And then we had the U.S. Supreme Court in 1892 said this: our laws and institutions must necessarily be based upon the teaching of the Redeemer of mankind. That's called the New Testament, folks. It is impossible that it should be otherwise. And in this sense and to this extent, our civilization, Western civilization, and our institutions, law and government, are emphatically Christian. It's funny, they don't teach that in school. They don't teach that in college. And yet, two of the most important things that we're probably told about our entire government are hidden from the people, and yet, again, the pulpit doesn't preach these things. You and I have brought them up, but I sure have turned in to listen to a lot of other sermons. I've never heard another pastor bring them up.
Well, you know, here, Joe, in Ohio, right now, that was what we talked about last night. In Ohio, the bill that's before in the House. In fact, guess what? It was today that they were going to debate on that bill today. And that bill would remove the teachings of the Founding Fathers, the teachings of the Constitution, remove the history of the Civil War, or the War for Independence,
Most of it's already been removed. This would just wipe it out totally, right?
Yeah, to be taken out of all of the textbooks. And here, this is why homeschooling is such a fast-growing, you know, in this country, in the state of Ohio. Homeschooling is growing and growing, and so is private Christian schools. I mean, more and more of them. In fact, there's an average every day in America of 3 new Christian schools opening every day. And you have some that close to. Pardon?
I said, thank you, Lord.
Amen. And that's one of the reasons for that is because, and of course, who's behind that? The Communist Party. The NEA is the largest, I guess, sect of communism, the large communist group in America. They're the largest union, and they're a hardcore Communist Party movement, is the NEA. Supposedly they're called the National Education Association. No, they're no education allowed is better. That's what it just stands for. So, and again, this is why more and more people, and you know, under Obama, when he turned Merrick Garland and the FBI loose on homeschoolers and on the school boards, on parents that had a problem with what was being taught with their taxpayer dollars in the public schools, Obama set the FBI on them, and that's all coming home now to roost. And guess what? Merrick Garland and Chris Wray, the burn bags had all kinds of emails in there that showed you. That showed you. Well, they were holding on to these for some reason. I don't know why they didn't destroy them. They were holding on to them for some reason.
Maybe God had something to do with that, that they weren't destroyed, that the truth would be able to be found.
Yeah. And here it came out with James. You know, James Comey had cut a deal. He was going to go to work when Hillary was going to be the president. He was going to get her, and him and Hillary had this deal. They got the emails. It's all in the emails.
Yeah, they got them all.
And Obama was the ringleader. Obama was the ringleader. So Obama is going to eventually, Trump is going to go after all of them. And everybody's saying,
we told people who the ringleader was, who was the start of the, really the, he was the one that took a small deep state and built it into the monster it is today. I remember we sat there almost every week. Oh, look what he's doing now. Look what he's doing now. He's taking out these professional bureaucrats, replacing them with political hacks, with, you know, extremists, with people of the far left, and bringing in people who believe, you know, socialism type of thing. And
yeah. It was a November election. A November election eve of 2008, on that night, here's what Obama went on national television, and he said this: we are 5 days away from fundamentally transforming the United States of America.
America, yep.
So there
and
you
we
go.
We tried to tell people what that meant. That was a total transformation from a constitutional republic to a socialist democratic state, and from going from God to government becoming the God. And apparently we were right on the money, but I wish we were wrong, but we weren't.
No, we told you Obama was an antichrist. This man who's right from the pit of hell. Obama is right from the pit of hell. And he followed, he had his teachers at Linsky. Saul Alinsky was one of his instructors there. And by the way, was involved with Hillary Clinton, too. She was, in fact, there's a video we have where Hillary was a college student. She was a college student, and she is reading the riot act to Saul Alinsky, who was a good friend of her father's. She's telling him he needs to be more brutal. He needs to be
more radical.
You know, yeah. Well, and no, in other words, when you remember, do you remember a guy named Frank Nitti? Frank Nitti took over for Al Capone. He was the guy he took over his place.
Yeah.
And him and Saul Alinsky, he adopted Saul Alinsky, called him the professor within the mob. And here, Hillary Clinton, was telling you need to be, when it comes to taking care of your enemies, you need to be more brutal. That was Hillary.
Yeah, and that was a little bit of the past.
Well, you know what? You've got about 5 minutes.
The information we put out for all those years, it's just incredible, the amount of things that we talked about, put out.
Well, here's what we got to talk about. We got 5 minutes to talk about when you leave this earth. All men are good. It's given unto all men once to die, and then the judgment. So that's what we got to tell folks about, how to be prepared. Because I said I'm going to be preaching on hell, and that's some place you don't want to go to, not even for a visit, huh?
No, there's no visit. It's a one-way ticket.
Right.
It's called One Way Only. I was just thinking, there's an old hymn, Almost Persuaded Now to Believe. Remember that one?
Mm-hmm.
Almost persuaded now to believe, almost persuaded Christ to receive. Seems now some soul to say, go, Spirit, go thy way. Some more convenient day on thee I'll call. And I just remember that hymn because it talks about one of the last verse. Almost persuaded the harvest is past. Almost persuaded doom comes at last. Almost cannot avail. Almost is but to fail. Sad, sad, that bitter wail. Almost, but lost. That is the fate of many people out there who somehow believe that they can get around to it later. They can, have their fun now. I've heard a lot of bikers, I'm just going to party now and I'll look at getting right with God later. And there, once you rejected the calling, rejected the Holy Spirit, God can turn his back, right?
Yeah.
He can turn his back on you, and your decision has been made. You made your own decision. In fact, God never sends anybody to hell, folks. You send yourself. God has given you choices. He doesn't force you. He gives you a clear, concise warning. He gives you all the blessings you could think of in the world against the worst punishment in the world, and then tells you to choose. You see, there's only one way to heaven, and you're not going to get there by you're through religion, a church, a philosophy, good works, good, you know, moral living, you know. In John, the book of John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. You can't get to God without going through his son, Jesus. There's no other way. John 1 says, but as many as received him, to them Jesus received him. To them he gave the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born, here, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And John 3:3, ye, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. It is a very simple thing. God sent his only begotten Son to the end that all that believe in him, accept him, shall not perish, but have everlasting life. But we have this little problem that God hates sin. He requires a punishment for sin. And Romans 6:23 tells us that the punishment, the wages of sin is death. But God said there is a way around this. He has a gift. The gift is to be reborn and have eternal life. It's totally free. Romans 6:23, the gift of God is eternal life through his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And, you know, God, that John 3:16 that everybody quotes, but it's so true. For God loved the loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him could be saved. We can be saved. What we have to do is if we go and confess to the Lord that we're a sinner.
1 minute, Joe. 1 minute.
We're sorry. Yep. We're sorry that our sins put his son on that cross, that Jesus had to go take my place, your place, Pastor Ernie's place, Stiles' place, and die for us, pay the price for our sin. So if we confess to the Father, ask for forgiveness for those sins, then we can call upon his son, Jesus, and we can ask, say, you know, Jesus, I want you to be Lord of my life. I want to give myself to you. I want to follow you. And if we do that with a contrite heart, with a really, a sincere heart, Jesus will give us the Holy Spirit of God. That'll be the down payment on our eternal life, the indwelling of God himself, the Holy Spirit. We become born again. That's our spiritual baptism. We become a child of the kingdom, a son or daughter of the living God, a joint heir with Jesus in everlasting life, and you will be changed forever.
Amen, Joe. We're out of time for tonight. So we always want to say thanks for being here. Good night.
Night, folks.
God bless.
God bless you.
And then we always say, and always, 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 you
always,
ready here?
Always.
Keep fighting. Ready? Fight.
Fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Rinse fights stubborn odors in just one wash. When impossible odors get stuck in, rinse it out.